Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Time to talk. Exciting preseason football. With the only guy I know who can make it exciting. Santana Dodson. Good morning, Santana.
Hey, buddy. Hey, pal. What's happening?
Hey.
What's happening up there?
still just trying to get over the fever of exciting preseason. Well, we shouldn't have to get over it. We got...
We have one to go Thursday night.
Yeah.
Thursday night in Chiefland. That would be Kansas City, Missouri. So we got one to go. Now,
You guys sound like you're just very enthused and ready to get through this thing.
Well, you're
like
reading the room correctly.
Brian, are you really ready? Is it over for you guys?
I remember one player strike where guys with names I didn't know were running around in Packer uniforms. And it's basically that's the same thing preseason is. Bunch of guys I don't know wearing the uniform of the team that I follow for 4 weeks, and then the real guys show up.
Yeah. It's kind of rough when they're away, right?
Because
everybody can practice at the home games. You know, preseason is all about, you know, making sure you got your tailgate together, making sure you have the watch parties and things like that. So
the legs on the Weber aren't loose.
You're getting ready for the big haul, right?
Sure, it's just as important for the fans.
Yeah, right. I like that.
You fans got to get into training too, you know.
I think Brian just covered it. I think Brian just covered it, making sure the legs on the Weber are nice and sturdy. You know, you put a pipe wrench on there maybe and give them half a turn.
Something like that.
Half a turn.
Right, about a half a turn. You know, maybe, you know, you just tighten them up. Make sure you're ready for the season, because the Packers, you know, they're doing their stuff. They're practicing. They're looking at people. They're going over film, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. But here's the problem. The preseason game Friday was at 9:30. 9:30, Santana.
Oh, yeah, that makes it rough.
I don't know. How was that for you guys when you would travel west for a preseason game? Does it matter? I mean, you guys are up late anyway. I mean, your schedule is different than the rest of the world.
Yeah, I mean, in a preseason game, if you're not in the game on the West Coast with a 7:30, 8 o'clock kickoff, you might see a yawn or two after the second quarter on the sideline. I can't lie. I can't deny that.
Right. Okay. Is it okay if you're just on the sidelines, you're clearly not going to play, you're in shorts and a t-shirt and tennis shoes, and you're watching the game? I'm sure you spent a couple like that at least, right?
Oh, yeah.
Can you sit on the bench and just kind of kick back and drink Gatorade and chew gum or have a granola bar or whatever they have over there?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's all they have over there is granola. So you start smelling the nachos and the hot dogs in the stands. And you're like, you know, you don't really realize when you're playing in the game how hungry you are on the sideline, because it's, you know, your pregame meal is 3 hours before kickoff. So we all know after 2-3 hours you get kind of hungry. So
I don't think you're hungry. I think you're
on the sideline and like seeing a kid on in the third row eating nachos. I'm like, hey, kid, give me a couple of those down.
I don't think you're really truly hungry. I think you're bored hungry. Like when you're sitting home and there's nothing to do. You look in the cupboards or the pantry or whatever.
You're burning a lot of calories. You're warming up and stuff. And
not if you're just watching the game in t-shirt and shorts. You're not burning any more than you and I are.
Yeah, so. I mean, you know, you do the pregame, the warm-up and all that stuff, but it's a lot of standing and sitting and watching on the sideline if you're not playing, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And the smells are drifting around and, you know, a hot dog would be good right now, a brat. So
exactly.
They have,
that's when
but
you
they
start
have,
snooping. You start figuring out, you know, some trainers keep a little food on the sideline. Kickers, it's always good to know a good kicker or punter, because honestly, they're eating every game, and you always wonder, like, hey, where'd that food come from? What are you chewing on there? Is that a kicker? Let me smell your breath. What is that?
Granola bars and stuff at halftime, don't they? I mean, just for a little quick.
Yeah, you usually have some granola at halftime, oranges, maybe a banana or two. So. You know, it's kind of limited want and what you can get in a,
sure,
in a locker room.
Because, right, they're not going to have a steak dinner there for everyone to pound
If
down.
You had requested a yogurt cup at halftime, would they have made that available to you?
Or a go-gurt, you know, the stuff in the tube?
A go-gurt?
Yeah, go-gurt.
Absolutely not. I mean, you could bring it from home. I probably should have stole it out of one of my kids. You know, snack packs.
But in that, but then it's not chilled the way you like it. Then it's just laying in your locker getting warm.
Yeah, that's true.
Could you set lockers big enough for a refrigerator?
It's not a college dorm, Brian.
No.
Those big.
It's not a dorm room. It's
just a small refrigerator.
It's a small little cubby hole.
Okay.
Anybody bring a cooler? Maybe put in their locker.
You know, and I don't know. Again, it's like. Would you eat a donut off the bathroom floor? Probably not. So I don't know if I'd want a refrigerator in my locker.
How hungry am I?
Hey, how hungry you are, that's a good question. Yeah. Depends on how hungry you are.
Okay, so I did learn something Friday night. Maybe I learned it after Friday night. But I learned something over the weekend. I learned that game three of the preseason used to be the dress rehearsal where you got your starters out there for 1.5 quarters, maybe a full half, and then you knew for the next 6 quarters you were going to see nothing but, like Brian described, guys running around with your team's football jersey on. Now they're saying week 2 is the dress rehearsal because if somebody gets hurt in week 2, now you've got 2 extra weeks to heal up before the season starts. But if that's your theory, your mentality, why not make week one is your dress rehearsal and you have 3 weeks to heal up?
Because then you get too rusty between week 2, 3, and 4.
Do you concur?
See, you guys are real smart. You're too smart. You're real good. You are exactly right. You know, how do they figure out? I feel like it's all over the place right now. You know, they don't have that first cut. Typically, after the dress rehearsal, after the third game, today would be the first cut where they're cutting down to roughly 70, 75 kids in the locker room.
Are they doing that anymore, or are they just going one big cut now?
There's one big cut. So I think with that, you know, if you talk to different organizations, they're saying different things on how they play it out. The number one thing is injuries, though. So trying to figure out how you get your starters or your big-time players, your Aaron Rodgers of the world, get them ready for week one in the regular season, but still at the same time not get them injured going into week one. So, you know, a lot of teams are playing it out differently, but it does seem like the second week your starters are getting more playing time around the league than what used to be the third game or the third week of the preseason.
If a team really likes you and they know you're not going to make the team, traditionally it was a courtesy to cut you early, right? To give you a chance to catch on someplace else.
They had waves of cuts.
Right. But now they don't have to do that. There's a final cut. But here's the deal. Let's say they do like you enough to go, well, we're going to turn you loose now because we like you and we think you can catch on somewhere else. And, you know, good luck to you, young man. And then somebody gets hurt and you go, well, we already turned this dude loose. Somebody else has claimed him. Now you look like you don't know how to run a football team. So I don't know what the right answer is there.
Yeah, I mean, there is no right answer, right or wrong. Typically, you want your backup. If we're talking about a backup player, let's say we're talking about the defensive line. So if you have a backup defensive line.
And why would we talk about the defensive line?
Of course, right.
It's the most important part of a football team. That's why.
For instance, can play tackle and defensive end.
Uh-huh.
That makes him more valuable than just a backup that can play one or the other, if that makes sense.
All right. Yeah. Hey, let's talk about this. How would you feel about Khalil Mack coming to Green Bay and at what price?
Ooh.
That's on the board.
I mean, he is an outstanding player. He's a dynamic outside pass rusher. What that cost would be, he's on his upside, meaning that his best years, I feel, are in front of him. Now you have to go into dollars and cents. Can you how much can you afford at that position?
Well, let's, before we get into dollars and cents, let's just talk about what it's going to cost to get him, because the rumor is it's going to take Clay Matthews and a draft pick or two. Do you give up Clay Matthews for Khalil Mack and a draft choice or two? Or or do you sit tight?
Yeah, as if I'm putting my GM hat on, that's something that's a trade for a trade, because of a dynamic player at that position that I'd be able to trade for another dynamic position, dynamic player at the same position.
Khalil Mack is younger.
Definitely. So, yeah, I would do that. Now, the question is the negotiating of, is it an early draft pick or is it a late draft pick as far as the draft?
Story is they want a one and maybe two ones out of the deal.
Boy,
at least one. At least
two ones, you know?
Yeah.
I don't
as
know.
A,
if I can
as a GM.
Ones. I'm giving you Clay. I'm giving you Clay. So maybe a third, second round pick, something like that, you know, 1 year. Because, mind you, the Packers are already picking typically in the back of the first, second round anyway, in the
Correct.
Back of the draft order.
Well, Brian Gutekunst has made more than, you know, two moves, but if he trades away Clay Matthews,
okay,
and his other move that he's remembered for is picking up DeShone Kizer.
Oh,
that guy is going to last about two more minutes.
He traded for DeShone Kizer.
Right, and it's like he's made a lot of moves. He's, you know, guy's coming and going out, but that's...
Look, the big man can't even stop laughing.
But those
that's
are
so
the
ridiculous.
Ones, those are the ones that, you know, are on the top of his tombstone.
All right, Santana. We'll talk about the Kansas City game next Monday, and then we'll get on to real football after that. How's that sound?
Hey, that sounds good to me, fellas.
All right.
All right. You get your own leg screwed on your Weber grill.
All right. Just a half a turn, babe. I'm going
All right.
on it right now.
Very good.
All right. We'll talk to you next week, Santana.
All right, fellas. Take care, Pete.
Santana Dodson. Get him on Monday mornings.